from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
You know, a jail escape is always news, especially if it's in the community where you're broadcasting, but got a funny feeling that some Nebraska broadcasters are going to be ignoring this story tonight.
We have to find this, Sam. I want a mashup of the local Nebraska television stations trying to read this story.
Is this in Lincoln?
So, yeah, she's an inmate at a correctional facility. She was in for, like, assault and making a terroristic threat, 6 to 10 year sentence. So this is not a small crime that she is convicted of committing, all right? Authorities are looking for an inmate who left a Lincoln Corrections facility on Sunday. Now, she has since been captured by the Lincoln County Task Force on Escape or whatever. She's 48 years old. 5'6", 260 pounds, black hair and brown eyes.
Oh, I see the story right here.
Anyone with information on her whereabouts was asked to call local authorities. Apparently somebody did. And here we are. The problem is, the woman's name, I'm going to go with impossible. It is impossible to announce or pronounce or speak.
Sam, you want to give it a shot?
There are 96 syllables, but they did find her. All I want to hear is all of the Lincoln broadcasters trying to warn people to track down
Obio Machukuka.
It's Chukka Chukka.
Chukka Chukka. Jokanma. Jokanma.
It's Obio Ma Chukka Chukka.
Obio Ma Chukka Chukka.
Jokanma. But it's all one. I'm pausing in between things.
That's one name?
Yes.
Well, that's first
one?
And last name. The Jokanma is the last name.
That I could do.
But the first one is Obio Ma Chukka Chukka.
What poor little just out of J school kid is going to have to read that one tonight?
Can I get a pronouncer for that? No. You're on your own.
It's unpronounceable. Nobody's ever done it successfully.
They did capture her, and this was the update 2 hours ago.
Okay. Sam, do you have your tinfoil hat?
I mean, it's always ready.
Hewlett-Packard has said it will not drop its UK claim for damages against the estate of British tech mogul Mike Lynch, who died when his super yacht sank last month. Britain's High Court in 2022 ruled mostly in favor of the U.S. technology company, which accused Lynch and his former finance director of fraud over its $11 billion takeover of his software company, Autonomy. Hewlett-Packard is seeking up to $4 billion in damages, and the judge is expected to issue a decision on that final sum soon. Okay?
Good.
I also missed the detail that his wife was one of the people that made it off the boat alive.
Yep.
Just throw that one out there.
I do remember seeing that.
By the way, I found a live TV cut of them talking about our wonderful prison escapee, and you can tell that it was in the prompter.
Do they just say the inmate?
And she just doesn't read it. she just chooses not to read
right
it.
Over it.
Just,
you
not know,
doing it.
It's there. I don't want it.
Because you can't win.
Authorities are looking for a missing inmate who left the Community Correction Center in Lincoln yesterday. She was sentenced to 6 to 10 years. For-
that pause right there. That she was supposed to read the name and she goes,
she.
She was sentenced.
Oh, God. All right. This is a serious story. This is from Channel 5. The Kansas City Chiefs have placed running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the non-football illness list yesterday. 3 days ahead of the 2024 season opener against the Baltimore Ravens.
He's going to miss 4 games.
Is that right?
Four games.
Yeah, I guess. All right, that's a little bit further down. ESPN's Field Yates was the first to report that Edwards-Helaire was placed on the list less than a week after making the Chiefs' 53-man roster for his fifth season in the NFL. As a result of being placed on the NFI, Edwards-Helaire will not be eligible to play for the first four games of the season.
What does non-football injury mean? And if Sam, if you can help answer that, could it be that like I stub my toe and break my pinky toe at home?
Get in a car wreck.
I am injured, mm-hmm. but it is not a football injury.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So it could be anything.
But keep in mind, it says it's not injury. It's non-football illness. Right.
Okay.
So I bet a car accident would put you on the physically unable to perform list.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Like maybe you get the stomach flu, non-football related illness.
A football account just tweeted this. I'm just going to read it and then we'll get into the story. It says, class act. The Chiefs will continue to pay Clyde Edwards-Helaire despite not being obligated to pay him while he is on the NFI list. Mm. Edwards-Helaire is currently dealing with a pretty severe case of PTSD as well as mental health issues. And PTSD is a mental health issue. I did not know that he suffered from it, but will you get into a little bit, Scott, about
sure.
the origin of his illness?
His PTSD, according to him, stems from a, and we have no reason not to believe him, stems from a December 2018 incident in which he and his LSU teammate Jared Small were victims of an attempted robbery in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The man who attempted to rob Edwards-Helaire and his teammates, his name was Kobe Johnson, was shot and died at the scene. That's all it says. You want to gingerly walk this one in?
A source has shared that the Chiefs will keep Clyde on the payroll and plan to do everything they can to support him through this process.
Good for them.
And that's great for them. I did have a question, a couple of questions, about PTSD after a violent crime. You are the survivor of a violent crime. So someone tried to rob him, mm-hmm. and in the process, the robber was shot and killed, and I'm guessing that happened right in front of them. I'm not denying that there would be trauma following a traumatic event like that, mm-hmm. criminal event like that.
Oh, sure.
But I asked Sam, like, did this just happen? I don't remember hearing about this. And Sam said that the robbery in which the robber died was back when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was playing college ball.
Mm-hmm. Back when he was at LSU, yeah.
So in 20, what was that?
2018.
Mm-hmm. So 6 years. And I'm just asking because I think a lot of people will have the same question. That when you are the survivor of...
You know, let's not make this about his PTSD.
No, when you are the survivor of violent crime, and maybe he didn't get the treatment he needed at the time, and that's why this has continued to be an issue. Or maybe, for some people, you do not get over that. And it is crippling enough that it impacts your ability to work, whatever your job is.
Well, you know, and I can only speak from, and it's anecdotal, but growing up in the profession that my father was in, you know, we still have a lot of friends from the Army days. And all of my dad's friends, sorry, I've had a frog in my throat for a week. All of my dad's friends were in Vietnam, whether they fought in Vietnam or were assigned some backline duties or whatever. Every friend I ever had growing up, if their dad was in the Army, they had been in Vietnam. And I do know some of my dad's friends do have PTSD, and it for them, it didn't go away. And I probably won't, would be my guess. And again, I don't want to make this about Edwards-Helaire. I'm just curious, and Dana has a good question. Can you do, regarding PTSD, therapy or medication that can ease it or maybe even make it go away?
Well, and a great point from the text line, was there something recently that triggered it again? We obviously know what happened on Valentine's Day in downtown Kansas City.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
He was near that tragic situation, and yep. I'm sure that sparked a lot of old feelings that he had from what happened six years ago.
crowds, all of that stuff.
Nobody would be surprised. So anyway, telephone number is 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. There's no question it is a delicate topic. And so share what you want. It's your journey. Share what you're comfortable with. We're talking about PTSD. We're not going to do this all afternoon and bring everybody down. But a lot of people do have it. And he's made no secret about it, including Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's been put on the non-football illness list as of yesterday and will now miss 4 games. And he's made no secret of the fact that he suffers from PTSD. But Dana does not. Sam, I don't think you do.
I don't.
I do not. And we were asking just off the air some questions like, you know, does it ever go away? Is there anything you can do to help it go away? Or if you get PTSD, are you just, it's with you for life? Nancy in Kansas City. Nancy, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, I have PTSD and everybody's PTSD is different, how they react or what they see or what they hear. It just could be out of the blue. I was attacked and basically left for dead. My head was bashed in with a brick. And my body was assaulted with a wooden pole.
Okay.
And just left there. And it was a very traumatic situation. And it's a blessing that I'm alive. And but I have gone through, and this has gone on, it's been 12 years. I can no longer work. That wasn't my choice. It was the medical doctors and the counselors and the psychiatrist. They decided that wouldn't work for me. I ended up with I don't have a short-term memory.
Do you get any treatment, Nancy? Is there anything you can do?
Yes. I after it happened, I went to, the neurologist, and then I went, saw a psychiatrist, and then he sent me to a psychologist, which you generally, what they do is you see a psychologist on a regular basis. Okay. And, that's what I did over the years.
Nancy, we're sorry that that happened to you, but glad that you are here and that you are okay. And I'm not, after an attack, I'm not surprised to hear she could no longer work. I want to read from the LSU athletic director at the time this happened to Clyde. We have been in constant contact with law enforcement regarding this terrible situation. Our concern is for the safety and well-being of all of our student athletes. They have been involved in a traumatic incident, and we have made our counselors available to assist immediately. So here's what happened. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and another player went to go sell, it just says electronics. Let's say they were selling an Xbox, whatever, on Facebook Marketplace or whatever. When an 18-year-old got in the back of their car, pulled a gun, and demanded the goods. The other of the two, so it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the other
Jared Small
player, I believe, pulled out the weapon and fired several times. Edwards-Helaire was in the front seat with Small. The guy trying to rob them had jumped into the back seat. And so, yes, obviously that would be a life-altering moment for anybody.
Of course. From the text line, my dad, I've heard this before, my dad is a Vietnam combat vet. He has PTSD, but won't admit it. He thinks PTSD is fake. I've met a lot of Vietnam vets that think the same. I have too. It used to be called shell shock. and when we were kids.
Yeah, but they also didn't treat it when we were kids. Men and some women were expected to come back and just act like nothing had happened and did not get the welcome home that other soldiers over the years have received.
Wendy in KCK. Wendy, hello.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to add in a little bit. I am the spouse of someone who has suffered from PTSD for quite a bit of time, all related to some work-related traumas. And I'm not going to get into what type of work he did or exactly what the traumas were. But no. let's just say that multiple traumas caused him to build and build and build until he could not take it anymore. And we had, and I'm going to say we because it affects the entire family. Dissociative episodes, which is where the mind kind of takes him away from the situation that he's in. And so what he experienced was he separated, even though his physical body was with us, his mind was somewhere else. And we started noticing more and more of that. When the initial traumas occurred, we went to a therapist and we did talk therapy, but none of it really kind of helped him address what was going on. It wasn't until that he started having these dissociative episodes, and it started affecting work, it started affecting family, just affecting him, that we found the right person who introduced something called EMDR, which is a fabulous therapy that helps to disrupt the brain and helps to kind of put it back into a more regular, I can't explain exactly, but it helped regulate him. It rebooted and helped regulate him to the point that he was better able to function. And I will tell you, we've been dealing with this since 2005, maybe even earlier than that. But the biggest explosion, I would call it, happened in 2005. And we're better. But there are still times when just the smallest thing can trigger it and bring it back to the surface.
Thank you for the call, Wendy. And I would also like to throw in for first responders of any kind. Sure. I've heard the term compound trauma. It's not just one. It's case number 2 and case number 30 and case number 400 that you remember. Mm-hmm. Everything for police officers and firefighters.
Cumulative.
It's a compound trauma.
Yeah. Let's go to Michelle in Lenexa. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to point out, I'm a PTSD. I have some from a incident back in the 90s, and this happened to him many years ago. But as some of the other callers have said, there are things that are going to trigger, and the incident that I was, that affected me happened on the 4th of July. So every year on the 4th of July, I have that PTSD kick in, and it's something that's very, very real. And until you've experienced it, you really can't understand it, unfortunately and fortunately, and to be glad that you don't have to deal with that anxiety that happens every time it's thought about. Mine was in college, just as his was, and it's something that every year will hit me. So who knows what may have triggered this moment for him. And thank goodness the Chiefs are recognizing that and helping him through it.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that story until Dana read it, and my hat is off to the Chiefs, because they're under no legal obligation to do that. But they recognize that mental health is serious, that people sometimes have issues with it, and he is having some. And he needs to step away from the game for a little while and deal with his issues. And for the Chiefs, and I'm not saying this because they're on a radio station bars down the hall, I would say if they were back over at 101 The Fox, I don't care. What they're doing, I think, is stand up. And these are the kinds of conversations we don't have very often in this country. And slowly but surely, mental health is losing its stigma, you know? And people are actually treating mental health like it is health, because it is. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. Let's go to who's waited the longest. That would be you, Melissa, in Overland Park. Hello. Oh, hi.
I'm sorry. First, let me say thank you for being my co-pilots as I make deliveries every day.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yay.
But I've had two things trigger PTSD. The first thing was back in 2005. I'll say it gently. I went to sleep next to my husband, and when I woke up, he had passed in his sleep.
I'm sorry.
So sorry.
Dealing with the PTSD from that, it's been almost 20 years, and through therapy, I have finally gotten to a place where I can sleep through the night and not wake up in a panic. So therapy has really helped with that. And then in 2020, my daughters and I escaped a domestic violence situation. I'm in therapy for that because I will have flashbacks, especially when I have to talk to him about our girls. That'll just give me a whopping panic attack where I have to take medication for it, and it'll leave me shaking. He controlled the money and would give me his debit card when I'd go shopping, and I'd get in trouble if I went over the budget, and that has lasted where I go grocery shopping and sometimes have a panic attack if I spend more than I had intended to spend. So I'm in therapy for that one, and I just thank the good Lord for the therapy with my first husband, because I also had a 10-year-old that was trying to blame himself for his dad's death, and he went into therapy for that. So depending on the severity of the PTSD, there's great therapy. Sometimes you need medications to help.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, my first traumatic thing was my late husband.
Yeah.
The therapy was the best thing to help, and it's finally gotten where I can look back and smile at the good times and tell my kids stories, and I've learned how to deal with, because grief can also bring on some PTSD if the grief is severe enough.
All right, Melissa.
Melissa, thank you for
that.
Sharing. I want to go to Ben quickly if we have time in Independence, because I do have a question based on some of the stories that she just shared. Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, you know, state the fact that trauma and PTSD are two separate things, you know, and what not everyone develops PTSD from a trauma, and there's nothing to say why you developed it and I didn't when we were in the same situation, you know. Cognitive behavior therapy, there's so much, but it is about changing the way you viewed the event, you know, and the how you perceived it, because the nightmares and the other stuff that goes along with that, you have to, you know, be able to retrain the way that you viewed that event. At least that's what worked for me.
Because you can't erase it from happening. You can't make it not happen. And that's one of the questions I had, Ben, that I think you sort of just alluded to, is that how can someone like, and I'm just going to throw out a name, like an Elizabeth Smart, okay?
Sure.
Who was kidnapped from her own bedroom in the middle of the night and held captive for, Scott, what, 2 years before they found her?
I believe that's right.
Like when you look at somebody who went through, and I'm not trying to rank trauma, but you see where I'm going through with here. Like, and she gives speeches now and has written a book and has talked about it. Like, how would that not just be so debilitating you would just die? Or being in the war, so debilitating. Yeah. And that for some people, they can come back and live a life and it seems like they're doing okay. And then for some people, they cannot.
That's where the stigma comes in, why people don't want to talk about it, why society don't want to talk about it, say get over it. Because I think some people can just, you know, are able to move on in life. Like you said, first responders and some of these officers and see this stuff every day that we would think, you know, how can you possibly go on in life after, you know, witnessing and viewing and doing the stuff that you do. And, you know, but their partner might develop PTSD, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason why I developed PTSD, and, you know, when my battle buddies and stuff went through the same things, and they're doing just fine. I have a service dog, and, you know, she's three now, and bless the VA and bless, you know, a lot of people in my life that care for me, because my dog does things for me, like clear my house when I get home. You know, she does amazing things, watches behind me, watches my six.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've had to use to get through my trauma. So, you know, and hats off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the Kansas City Chiefs for bringing this to...
For talking about it.
Yeah, talking about it. And, you know, I'm just... It really gives me goosebumps to see this out in a different way than just war, you know, because people develop it in regular life. Like, you know, your psychiatrist or what have you might have it, you know, and you don't know how he's going to respond to something you say or do. And it just brings everybody's awareness to be a little bit more understanding about where other people are when you go, you know, start judging or, you know, running your mouth or what have you.
Ben, thank you for the call. And we're so glad that you're doing okay. Speaking of the Chiefs. 6 minutes ago from our friends down the hall at 610, which is now 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs super fan and convicted bank robber. Is it Xavier Babadar?
You got to say it like you're from a Western, Johnny.
Xavier
Babadar.
Will be sentenced. Wait for it.
Thursday,
in a federal courtroom hours before the Chiefs kick off the season.
I mean, couldn't be more fitting.
What are the odds, people? Come on.
I don't think this was a coincidence.
I don't either.
Judges know when the football games are scheduled.
Babadar's attorneys are asking for a 10-year sentence. Prosecutors are recommending 20 years. And then Cody Tapp next door says, split it, give him 15 in honor of Mahomes starting the season. But speaking of trauma, Sam, and we joke about Javier Babadar, please look up and remind everyone how many banks they are. Number one, how many banks he's convicted of robbing. And number two, how many banks they think he might have robbed, because those are different numbers. And there is nothing funny if you were receiving end, if you were a teller, when that ding-a-ling walked in demanding money, there's nothing funny about any of it. Now, he's just such a doofus that it's hard not to make fun of him. And the fact that they're going to sentence him right before the Chiefs kick off is hilarious.
That's my favorite part of the whole story.
How many banks?
It's a lot.
God, I could.
And I don't even know that they.
More than a few.
Charged him or convicted him in all of them. I think they picked a couple and he's going away for those. But this was a spree of bank robbing.
11 bank robberies. For $800,000.
11 confirmed for $800,000 across seven states.
Yep.
That is not a 10-year crime. Wait a minute. He robs 11 banks, and I think it's more than that. Let's just say 11 is what they convicted him on. 11 banks, and his defense attorneys want 10 years. That's a year and some change per bank robbery.
Here's what I don't understand. It would have to be a lot more, because we've had this conversation 1,000 times regarding how little people actually get when they rob a bank. It's not, you know, this Ocean's 11 kind of haul. And we even had a story last week about a bank robbery, and the guy ended up getting, like, I don't know, $3,500. If my math is even close to being right, for 11 bank robberies and an $800,000 haul, he's getting about $75,000 per.
That's not the math we should be doing. Prosecutors want 20 years.
What I'm saying is, it would have to be more, a lot more than 8 or 11 if he ended up with $800,000. I mean, that is prolific.
Prosecutors, Scott, want 20 years. The defense team wants 10. Prosecutors want 20. I still think that's too little.
Now, keep in mind, he was also accused of laundering over $1 million through a variety of casinos. So the $800,000 comes from his plea deal. He admitted to stealing $800,000. He admitted to robbing 11 banks.
I think you guys are missing what I'm saying about the prosecutors wanting 20 years. Let's say, for math's sake, he robbed 11. I don't feel like it's 11. I feel like it's closer to 20, but let's say it's 11, okay?
We don't know.
Prosecutors want 20 years for robbing 11 banks? Mm-hmm. That's like a year and some change per bank. No, this is like a 50-year sentence crime, not a 10 or a 20.
He faces up to 50 years.
Well, but the judge isn't going to go over 20, because then defendants wouldn't enter into pleas. You know what I mean? And it's right. Maybe the judge really does think this guy ought to go to prison for the next 40 years of his life or whatever. You start breaking those plea arrangements, though, and defendants stop pleading.
By the way, part of his plea deal says that he owes $532,675 in restitution.
That money's gone.
Why is that so specific?
Wait, what is the amount?
$532,675.
To whom does he owe restitution? To the banks?
Each of the 11
or
banks?
Or to the people that he physically robbed?
I don't know. Doesn't say. To the financial institutions that he robbed.
It's a moot point because he doesn't have the money. Wasn't he living out of his car at one point?
On road trips.
He might have been good for a while at robbing banks, but he sucked at gambling.
And apparently laundering.
He was pretty good on those sports bets.
Oh, that's right.
Cleaned house on those sports bets.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
All right, quick break. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Yep. Just announced Rob Riggle.
Yes.
We'll be banging the drum at Thursday night's game at Arrowhead.
So cool.
Man, what an honor that would be. I'm not asking, Chiefs.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
No, I'm not, because Dana and I don't even belong in the same stratosphere as people like Rob Riggle.
No, we do not.
I mean, give me a break.
And if we were up there, I would take the drum banger drum thing and whack you in the head with it.
I promise. He looked like a drum. ABC News, a suspect has been identified and arrested in the Tacoma area after police were investigating five separate shootings that occurred Monday night on Interstate 5 in Washington State. Police have not confirmed if all of the shootings are connected, but have confirmed that several people were injured across all five incidents. Suspect's been arrested. It's not clear whether the suspect is connected to all five. Two women were taken to the hospital. And I-5 was briefly closed as police collected evidence, but it is now reopened and did not affect the morning commute today. I know you're all things Titanic. The Titanic may have survived more than a century at the bottom of the North Atlantic, but a chunk of the iconic bow railing featured in the movie of the same name has not. RMS Titanic, the American company with salvage rights to the wreck, completed its ninth remote imaging expedition since it first visited the wreck in 1987. More than 2 million photos have been taken, countless artifacts scouted for future recovery. But they did notice that the bow railing has fallen off.
Oh, well, yeah. It's not just going to sit down there forever. We know that. And there's a huge, I think, moral, ethical and probably legal debate over whether or not you bring anything more up or you just leave it there in its resting place as the memorial that it is to all the people who died.
I'm sure we've talked about this. Did you go to the Titanic exhibit?
That was
incredible.
I would go again.
See, I think they should bring more artifacts up.
Yeah.
Now, if they were to find someone.
How did the China not disintegrate?
I have no idea.
Crack. Or break.
Crack.
All of it.
Yeah. And
menus.
I was just going to say it. They had menus from the Titanic. Keep in mind, it had been at the bottom of the ocean for over 70 years before they ever got down there and found it. You know?
Well, I'm sure there were areas that were locked, watertight, locked away.
It wasn't that. It was more like, I think, stuff that was stored in either, I don't think there's air pockets down there after all this time, but like fire safe boxes that you would travel in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Sam? Like actual sealed fireproof containers.
Yeah, but if they were in locked, something that's locked, how would you unlock it to get that stuff out?
You would bring it up to the surface and then they welded through it. All right, this made me laugh on Facebook today, and I'll give you guys two stabs at it, okay? If band names were literal, what would be the worst concert to attend? And I will give you...
I saw some of these.
I will give you... One submission is Anthrax from our listeners. One is Fine Young Cannibals.
That's my favorite.
And one is Five Finger Death Punch.
Dead or Alive?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I went with 10,000 Maniacs. Listened to that a lot over the weekend.
Iron Maiden.
What does that even mean?
Iron Maiden it was a device back, you know, I don't know, 1400s.
Oh, is that where they stretched you?
No. If I'm not mistaken, an Iron Maiden is basically a coffin with nails on the door.
Oh, God.
And they would put you in it and then slam it shut.
That's terrible.
If I'm not mistaken, that's what an Iron Maiden is.
I think the winner might be Insane Clown Posse, because wouldn't that just be terrifying?
Well, just like the actual Insane Clown Posse.
Anyway, if you want to play along, I've put that on my KNBC page, and it's up to a whole lot of submissions. Poison, there's one.
Poison, yeah.
I think Anthrax is funnier.
And the biggest news story of the day, in the long-awaited renewal of the rivalry between competitive eating legends Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi.
Okay.
Chestnut has won.
Oh, my gosh. He blew his previous record out of the water, ladies and gentlemen.
Eating an astonishing 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes, Kobayashi only got 66.
Did either of you catch it yesterday?
No. I was at the Royals.
I don't have Netflix, so I was not able to watch. But the beef has now been finished, and Chestnut is
the Did you just say the beef has now been finished?
Well, yeah. It was called Unfinished Beef.
No.
That was the special.
No.
I'm not making it up.
The victory earned Chestnut a prize of $100,000.
Okay. Huh. Did you see, by the way, Scottie Scheffler's caddy this year, Sam, banked $7 million.
He won, what is it, the FedEx?
He won everything this year.
Yeah, over the weekend.
He's in a very, very small fraternity of men who have won 7, 8, or 9 championships in one season. Very small list, and Tiger Woods is on a lot of those years.
Bringing in the money.
$7 million for Scheffler's caddy.
A number of people are writing in. Don't forget the band, the Butt Blank Surfers.
The Zombies.
Yep. News with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.